We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On Sports Radio 610, here's Clint Sterner and the show. It's the Search Update.
All right, we do this at the top of each hour, and there is some new news with the Texans' head coaching search. The Texans, according to Tom Pelissero, Clint, are setting up second interviews with Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier, no surprise, and Ravens assistant head coach David Culley for their head coaching job, per sources. Both are now out of the playoffs and eligible to meet in person. So now we're getting the ball rolling. Now this is the third coach who's gotten a second interview behind Jim Caldwell and now David Culley, Leslie Frazier. Any surprises with David Culley?
No, because I think the Texans have to. I think they'd be smart to as well, especially if this is how they're going to operate. I think they've got to continue to interview guys, and you can call it a head coach interview if you want to, but I think you've got to continue to hire guys that you could potentially put on this staff. I'm a firm believer in this show. I think you got two head coach candidates at two different ends of the spectrum. I think you got Eric Bieniemy on one end that's going to walk in, tell the front office to stay out of his locker room. He's going to tell them exactly how he's going to win. He's going to go in the locker room and he's going to attempt to do that. He's not going to ask for any kind of input. I think you got Leslie Frazier, who's an older coach, probably a little more even keeled. He's going to tell them how he's going to win and what his plans are, and then he's going to follow that up with, well, y'all tell me, how do y'all think, what's the best way to go about winning? How have y'all had success? And I'm talking about he would ask Cal McNair and Jack Easterby and Nick Caserio. So you got two different guys. You got one that don't want to hear anything from you other than he's hired, and you got another guy that's going to say, well, how would you do it? I think the guy, Leslie Frazier, is the guy that's going to say, well, how have you had success here in the past? How can we work together? This is an open-door policy. And I believe that this group, again, Cal McNair, Jack Easterby, Nick Caserio, they view Leslie Frazier as a guy that you get a solid coach, you get an older coach that's been there before and done it, but more importantly, you get a coach that's going to allow that open door policy to exist, allow you to essentially handpick some of the staff below him, what's going to happen on the offensive side of the football, and those are all things to me that Eric Bieniemy aren't going to bring to the table. Leslie Frazier, head coach, you've got the biggest problem on this football team lies at the feet of the head coach. He's a defensive-minded head coach. This defense has stunk for a couple of years now. Most of the work, the repair that needs to be done to this organization in terms of the locker room needs to be done on the defensive side of the football. If Leslie Frazier is their guy, the biggest priority, the biggest thing that has to be fixed lies at the feet of the head coach, and that head coach is more than likely a guy that's going to allow Jack Easterby, Nick Caserio to have their hands in what this organization ends up doing offensively. So that gets you to, in my opinion, the David Culley possibility. I don't believe he's a legit head coach candidate. I believe he's a candidate for this staff. I don't believe that in any way, shape, or form, Josh McCown, who had meetings and discussions and what some called interviews for the head coaching job Friday, I don't think he's in any way, shape, or form a head coach candidate. I do think he is a guy that could potentially be on a staff that Nick Caserio puts together. Leslie Frazier may let Nick do that. Eric Bieniemy ain't letting Nick do that.
When you talk about Leslie Frazier or David Culley, but I think Leslie Frazier, I agree with you, is more realistic, the coordinator from Buffalo. When you talk about the thought of maybe he is somebody that's more in tune with the, hey, let's work together.
Yep.
As opposed to, hey, I would like to, you could pick the players, whatever, but I'd like to have control of who I'm hiring and who I'm. When you say that, to me, Clint, I know you don't want to hear it, But it, to me, brings in the Tim Kelly possibility. It brings in the potential of Tim Kelly being the offensive coordinator, a guy that apparently they have been blocking other teams to visit with about their coordinator positions. To me, that makes sense. If a guy like Leslie Frazier, who you, as you said, they may want to be able to have more input on how things are going, almost like a baseball team where the GM has more input on what's going on. Maybe they want to do that. To me, this kind of makes the Tim Kelly holding him from being able to have interviews and discussions as the OC with other teams. This kind of makes that make sense.
Zero chance. Zero chance. There is no – you want to talk about all-time incompetence. If there is no way.
Texans would do that.
There's so many ways you can look at this and look at what's happened with that particular offense as of late in Houston. It was not a good offense. It was square peg round hole for Deshaun Watson for the majority of the time that he's been here. It's not been one of the more productive offenses long term. Nothing convincing comes from it. And you mean to tell me that you look at Tim Kelly, all the great offensive minds that are out there, and you look and you go, yep, Tim Kelly's the way to go. I don't think there's any way, even given this scenario, I don't think there's any way possible that Tim Kelly remains the offensive coordinator or the quarterback coach for this football team. And the big reason I'm saying this, I don't think there's any way that this team stays with the same offensive scheme that they've had since Bill O'Brien was hired. That would be criminal.
That would be.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
All right, so that is, we just had Danon Hughes, and he was great. I would advise you to hit that radio.com app and use that radio.com rewind at 2:35. He was on with us. Danon Hughes is the analyst for the Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network. He, on 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City earlier today, said, there's a reason that the Houston job is still lingering. I kind of feel like there will be an announcement soon that EB will get the job. I've been talking to some people, and I kind of feel like that's on the horizon. When you hear that, and I hear we see they have second interviews, that to me, if I'm a Texans fan, would get me excited. If he's been talking to people and says that, is there any way that they hire their coach without giving him a second interview?
There's no way to explain it. I mean, there's a way they could do it. Yeah. There's no way to explain it, though, Show. To me, when you look at resumes, when you look at age, when you look at the ability to right the ship and possibly take you to the mountaintop, when you look at the fact that Eric Bieniemy's coming out of definitely the hottest offense in the game right now, arguably one of the most explosive offenses ever to be assembled, and you got a chance to hire that guy, a guy out of that organization that's been in the league in some way, shape, or form for 20 years as a player or as a coach. He's obviously an integral part. There's no excuse to hire a head coach. You're the only opening right now in the league. There's no threat of any of these guys going anywhere. No, there's no excuse to hire a head coach before you get an opportunity to fly your private jet to Kansas City, pick up Eric Bieniemy, take him wherever in the hell he wants to go, sit down for 6, 7, 8, I don't care if it's 2 days, and figure out if he's the right guy, the right fit for you. Do whatever you got to do to get comfortable with him. Hiring a guy before that takes place, especially when the alternative is Leslie Frazier or David Culley or Jim Caldwell, I think that would be a huge mistake.
Oh my God.
If the Texans get it in a hurry and do that over the next 2 weeks before getting the chance to sit down with Eric.
God, you did that. Will you just say it out loud?
Yeah.
Say it out loud. Yeah. No, we won't do a second interview because we got Leslie Frazier, David Culley, and Jimmy Caldwell in the bag, baby.
Yeah, we're gonna throw this staff together and see if we can't right the ship in Houston with all these choir boys. Yeah, look, I just don't see any way, shape, or form how you can get. Now, look, if you get to Eric and you sit down with Eric and y'all wrap the interview up and it ain't a fit, so be it. Whatever. I don't see how you get to that point, but if you do, that would be a lot easier to stomach than couple hour Zoom interviews over a 2 or 3 week span and then going, no thanks, we're going to go with Leslie Frazier. It's hard for me to understand how they come to that conclusion when there's no reason to get hasty with the job, right? There's no reason to rush this process at this point in time. I know for you and me it would be nice, and for the national media it would be nice, but ultimately they need to pull the reins back, check up just a little bit, take your time getting through this.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, Clint, the Super Bowl is set. The Buccaneers and the Chiefs, they will play in Super Bowl 55 in Tampa. First time ever we've had a team be able to play in its home city and home stadium. The Bucs, which I was shocked, almost surprised with, and I know that's terrible because it is Tom Brady. They go into Lambeau and they win 31-26. The Chiefs, they, as you said, blow out Buffalo 38-24, and really it wasn't even that close. They got a lucky – they got a score and an onside kick that kind of made you feel like it was closer. Tom Brady throws 3 second-half interceptions, Clint.
Yeah.
And they still win the game.
How wild is that, right? Nuts. I mean, Tom Brady won 6 Super Bowls by getting a lead and then making the right decision in the second half and literally suffocating the other team, giving them 2 or 3 opportunities to go down and score and either cut the lead in half or maybe even take the lead. He messed around and gave Aaron Rodgers 2 back-to-back interceptions, like mind-boggling interceptions. Not quite as bad as Chad Henne last week for the Kansas City
Chiefs.
Well,
no, you could at least see what he was thinking.
But what the hell? What? I couldn't believe that it was Tom Brady doing it. And then on the flip side, let me be honest with you, I could not believe that they handed Green Bay on a silver platter 2 opportunities to cut the lead and then take the lead, and the defense walked out there and was able to stop them, man. That was a classic game. The conference championship game's delivered, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, and then to me, I think Buffalo, we'll see where they are, but I think they showed they weren't ready for that state.
No, all around. Look, a one-dimensional football team, mid-level defense, limited weapons on the offensive side of the football, and a quarterback that relies on his athletic ability and crazy arm talent to survive. And for all my anybody out there that wants to shape their mouth to say, well, that's what Pat Mahomes does, look here, Pat Mahomes got plenty of weapons. Pat Mahomes does play a lot of the time within the system, and he's the best ever playing off script and off platform. So if you want to shape your mouth to say those things, and you're telling me you're putting Josh Allen in the same sentence as Pat Mahomes, and I got to cut you off real quick. I'm going to hang up on you if you try to call in with that mess too. So there's – you can't play – Josh Allen reminds –
I'm going to call a rehab facility.
Josh Allen – stop it. Josh Allen reminds me of Deshaun Watson in year 3. That's where Josh Allen was. Highlight reel, a fireworks all over the place, unbelievable athlete. Team loves him. You see a bright future, but he's got to bear down and he's got to develop first and foremost. And if he does that, then he's got a chance to be a really, really, really good quarterback for a long time in this league. But right now, you just ain't winning Super Bowls that way.
No, he wasn't ready for that.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, and finally, the Rockets, Clint, they had themselves a nice weekend. They went 2-0. They beat Detroit and they beat the Dallas Mavericks. And Boogie Cousins.
Big day.
Man, he turned the clock. I didn't know. Boogie Cousins, 28-17. 28 points, 17 rebounds, a couple of blocks against the Mavericks. I did not know he was capable of doing that anymore.
I damn sure didn't. Even though, I should have, because everybody that I talked to leading up to the season after the Rockets acquired Boogie Cousins, it was like, well, he's still talented. He can do it one time. The thing is he can't do it. He'd have a hard time at his age staying healthy and doing it over a long period of time. But so nonetheless, look, I told you I'm becoming a Boogie Cousins fan when he opened up against James Harden.
Oh, yeah, I know you love that. Yeah,
opened up about James Harden, and you go out there and go 28-17. Yeah, Boogie's getting on. He's on my good side.
All right, so now let's all answer this question, okay? We were here, and we had to react on the spot to Josh McCown being considered as the head coach and getting an interview for the Texans. Now that it has been a full weekend, I want all of Houston and Clint, do you feel different now? Do you feel different than you did before about Josh McCown being the head coach of the Houston Texans? We'll talk about that next.
On Sports Radio 610, here's Clint Sterner and the show.
That's right, it is a Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. 713-572-4610. React to this. All right, now. All right, we've all, Tyler, T. Sleazy in the building. Clint, we have all now had, I don't know, what is it, 72 hours? However many hours that is. It's something. It's more than 24, 40. Yeah, 72 hours or so since we found out that Josh McCown was being interviewed, discussed, whatever, to be the head coach.
Whew.
Clint, do you feel any different? Any different than you did once I read that off to you when we hit that breaking news sounder? Do you feel any different about it?
No, not one bit. I still can't wrap my head around why in the hell the Houston Texans would even announce that they're interviewing him when he's under contract and you can easily grab dinner with him. You could easily ask him to come upstairs after he gets a workout in. You could easily drive up the street to his hometown up, I think, northeast of Dallas, I think, in northeast Texas, and you can meet with him if you so choose. Not sure why you need to announce that you're interviewing or meeting or discussing anything beyond the being your backup quarterback this season when he's under contract with the team. I don't know why that needs to be public knowledge. Don't know how you sit around and decide that you benefit in any way, shape, or form from putting that out there. So yeah, no, there's not one thing has changed. In my opinion, of that announcement that came across the Texans' Twitter Friday when we were sitting here in the studio.
Because, see, I've heard people try to make the case, all right, man, he's been widely regarded for years, and Doug Peterson was going to potentially give him an offensive coordinator position. Like, have you at least come to that point of maybe he could be an OC? Have you even gotten to that point?
I think going straight to an OC would even be questionable right now. I think that would be a huge step for any former player to literally go from being under contract to the offensive coordinator and literally managing a staff of coaches and the entire offensive side of the football team. So yeah, no, I think that would be a huge stretch. As well to say that's possible.
No, I'm with you. Like that is, like he's not. He's just not qualified for either of the two. Like he's never ever coached in the NFL. Hell, he's never coached in college. He's just like I'm sitting there thinking, and I listened to many people over the weekend. I mean, we heard people talking about it's not that crazy. We're reading a lot of Nashville. It's not that crazy. Like, many people think he's got a chance to be a coach down the line. Why not now? It's just like, why not now? It's because it doesn't, like, there's got to be something. I think you said it earlier. Like, man, if there's going to be a jump-the-line candidate to do this, it's going to be like Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, Josh McCown has played 17 seasons. Give me if I'm wrong, man. You played the game. You know how these meetings go and what the job for an offensive coordinator. Does him playing 17 years give him the right or the feel to say, all right, that guy knows enough to be an offensive coordinator just because he's played quarterback as a backup for 17 years?
No, not at all. I mean, I think there's value in the experience. I mean, I think there's value in literally – entrenching yourself into multiple offenses over a 17-year period. I think there's value in learning how different coaches get the most out of their players. It's definitely a hell of a resume builder for a coaching career when you do indeed get done playing. I think one thing that I've heard is that I think is inaccurate is that he's some kind of a one-of-a-kind former player or current player. And, you know, that he would be the guy that would be considered for a job, and there's not many of him running around. I just disagree with that sentiment. I wasn't in the league forever, but I bounced around the league for 5 years with different organizations, and there's a handful of guys that I came across that you knew – if they wanted to go into coaching, they would be very, very, very good at it. And I just don't think that it's as rare to find a guy that's got that in him, that has that ability. I just don't think Josh McCown – I think he's going to be a great coach, but I don't think he's that rare of a breed to where you go, yep, if anybody's going to do it, it's this guy.
Yep.
He's got the it factor. He's got some swag, no doubt about it. He's got a hell of a resume as a player to start a coaching career. But I don't in any way, shape, or form see how you could justify jumping straight to offensive coordinator, much less head coach. No.
No. As we're talking here, Josh McCown, do you feel any different since you found out that the Texans were looking at him to talk to him about their head coaching job? Like, the highest I could see is quarterback coach. Like, I think he could do exactly what T.J. Yates did this year. Hell, I think he probably did some of it this year. On the sideline, whipped to shine. I think that's as that to me is as high as he to me to just say, all right, man, we really think highly of him down the line. We want to kick him off as being a quarterback's coach,
right?
Because to me, how different it being in the locker rooms and understand how different of job duties is it from the quarterback's coach to the offensive coordinator?
It's huge. I mean, you're talking about installation. I mean, you're talking about now coordinators being the head. I mean, being the quarterback coach is the natural transition. But just a quarterback coach that's teaching a quarterback an offense that he's learned from somebody else is totally different than when you slide into an offensive coordinator position. You've got to coach the receivers and tell them exactly how you want routes to the receivers coach. How you want route combinations and formations and motions to look. And not that they're not capable of doing those things, but having your stuff together and just being a player and then jumping to the head coach or jumping to the OC without any kind of training in that world, sun up to sundown, that's a crazy stretch of the imagination to think that that's possible. I mean, like Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore is one guy in Dallas.
Yeah, what was his path?
5 years in the league as a quarterback. The team he was with, the offense he was with, he jumped to quarterback coach for a year. And then when the OC left, they decided to hire him as the offensive coordinator.
So did he come right off the field?
Yes.
And then he went to quarterback's coach?
Yes.
Okay. I can go with that.
And I don't think there's been a whole lot of change since he's been a player. Remember it was Jason Allen? I mean, Jason Garrett. And was it Scott Linehan? Was Scott Linehan the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think that's who it was. But anyway, when he transitioned to the quarterback coach and into the OC role, there was a lot of similarities, and there was a lot of easy, smooth transition over a 2 year period. Really over a 3 year period, talking about the last year he played. It was a smooth transition, whereas you're talking about a guy that was signed here to a team that was 4-12, the offensive mind in the room got fired. He was under Tim Kelly, who was, again, a defensive player, a former defensive grad assistant, quality control type guy. There probably wasn't a whole hell of a lot to learn from Tim Kelly for Josh McCown. It would be a much bigger jump than Kellen Moore, and I think Kellen Moore is even a guy that did it so much faster than you would want to. You'd want to slow motion through this, learn, get your feet wet, figure it out, ease into a position where you can be successful, not jump in and go, man, I'm overwhelmed and overloaded at this point in time. I love Josh McCown. I'm in it for the backup quarterback, baby. I want him to do well. I want him to be a head coach. But knowing what I know and being in locker rooms, it is a huge stretch to think that even a guy with that resume, football resume, could make that jump and should even be considered to make the jump to the offense, I mean, to the head coach position.
No, yeah. I was going to say, I know you're a fan of Josh.
I love him.
Like you some Josh. To me, it's just and I think I'm still at the same thing. It's just the process and the thought process of how they're going about doing their business. And that can't be a thought process.
No, here's the deal, Show. When you this is not a situation like where Kellen Moore was the quarterback's coach and the OC, for whatever reason, left, fired, whatever they did with him, and then Kellen Moore slides into the OC position. That made everybody around him's job easier. That was an easy transition. Terminology doesn't change. Faces don't change. Boom, you just keep on keeping on. This is one where there's no commonality. It's new to everything, and the organization is dysfunctional. It's unhealthy, is what Dan Orlovsky said. It just doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense to even consider. And where I was going with that is, like, the Texans right now, the Cowboys brought Kellen Moore on and eased him in. It just made sense. It was an easy transition. The Texans got the world open to them. You can go get any offensive coordinator that you want. You can go get anybody out there that you want right now.
Anyone.
You can't settle on your third string quarterback. Right? That can't be the
He's never coached
that
before.
That can't be the way to go.
He's never coached before. He's been like a coach. He's been like he's helped. He's come off the sideline and talked but he ain't a coach.
No question. He's as good a player coach as you're going to find. But he's not the only player coach in the NFL that you're going to find. There's several guys around the league that are cut from that same cloth and have those same aspirations and one day will be a head coach. This guy's not an anomaly. This guy's not the only one that can do something, the only one that can make that jump. Let's pump the brakes a little
Phillip
bit
Phillip Rivers is going to go coach high school.
There's your one right there. There's your one right there.
Phillip said, hell, if he's getting interviews.
Yeah, let me get one.
How did I not get one with the Chargers? All right, coming up, maybe the biggest issue that Eric Bieniemy has had in probably finding a head coaching job is magnified when you move that and then put that and combine it with how the Texans do business. We'll discuss that coming up.
On Sports Radio 610 with Clint Sterner and the show.
It is a Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. And I got to give it to you, Clint. You know, sometimes in between these breaks, you have some really good thoughts. And I think you had one when we're looking at Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy, as we talked to Danan Hughes, if you missed that, please go back. 245 radio.com app, hit that radio.com rewind. He had some great things to say about Eric Bieniemy, and he thinks that Eric Bieniemy is coming here to Houston. But one of the things he talked about was potentially some of the issues he's had with trying to get a job. And one of those things is his interview process. And you came up with something great in the break where you said, man, just thinking about Eric Bieniemy's style of, I want to put my plan out, let you know what we want to do to get better. And then when you combine that with very successful businessmen and owners, and then you combine that with the Houston Texans, Cal McNair, and Jack Easterby and what they've shown. For Eric Bieniemy to come in with potentially his style and presentation in terms of the aggressiveness on what it is he sees as the vision,
yeah,
that might run counter, especially with Cal McNair and especially with Jack.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of people out there that just can't figure out how Eric Bieniemy may or may not, quote unquote, interview well. And look, I understand the minority aspect of this. And there's no doubt about it that somewhere along the way there's owners that just flat haven't hired Eric Bieniemy because he's a minority coach. Okay, I'm not disputing that at all. But it's not a stretch if you really think about it. It's not a stretch to think that a valid reason why some owners may be turned off by Eric Bieniemy is that Eric strikes me as a guy. I said it a million times since we started talking about Eric Bieniemy. He's the guy that's going to walk in and tell the front office, stay out of my locker room, stay off my sideline, stay off my practice field. Y'all handle that front office. I got this locker room. He's that guy. And I think in an interview setting, I think he's going to get on Zoom or he's going to get face-to-face and he's going to say, here's what I'm going to bring to the table offensively and defensively. Here's how I'm going to win ball games, and here's who I'm going to do it with. And you either like it and you hire me or you don't like it and I go back to Kansas City and I continue to get to AFC championships, if not win Super Bowls. That's Eric Bieniemy. And I'm here to tell you that it's not a stretch to think that a big chunk of owners in this league that are very wealthy individuals, they don't want to hear somebody come in and tell them what they're going to do with their business. They don't want to hear somebody come in and tell them everything they're going to do with their business and how they're going to win ball games. And all I need you to do is stay out of the way and sign checks, right? Wealthy individuals want to be asked, well, how have you had success here in the past? How would you recommend that I go about doing things here in Houston? What kind of warnings do you think are out there? What kind of input would you like to have? Would you like there to be an open door policy, right? And I think there's guys out there that are willing to play that political side of the game and get hired sooner rather than later. And I think, Eric, I think there's people there's individuals that are willing to play that political game to stay in the league and stay in the league for a long time. And I think Eric Bieniemy is a guy that has no problem being, call it rough around the edges, call it direct, call it what you want. If I were an owner, that's what I would be looking for.
Isn't that what you would want? Isn't that what you, because listen, I would want the person here who is supposed to give me their vision to give me their vision.
Yeah. I've got hands-on experience of this. When I was with the Cowboys, I mean, Jerry Jones is one of those guys. Jerry Jones wants a guy that he can push around. I watched him with Dave Campo. Dave Campo wasn't a head coach. There's no way in hell that Jerry Jones sat across the table from Dave Campo and said, boom.
That's Jimmy.
This is my guy. That's Jimmy, right? That's Tom Landry. That's my guy. That's Bill Parcells. That's my guy. No, you didn't. You saw a guy that you could come stand on a 50-yard line in the middle of practice if you wanted to. You know, you could tell him to go sit with the players on the team plane if you wanted to. Ultimately, you could tell the cat who you were bringing in, who you were going to play. There's no doubt about it, right? And so, and I'm not saying Cal is that to that degree, but the ownership, wealthy individuals don't like to be told what the hell to do. Why do you think Jerry Jones and the Bill Parcells Jerry Jones marriage was such a media circus, right? Until they fixed Bill Jerry left him alone and let Bill do what he does, and everybody realized maybe Jerry was going to take a back seat. Jerry got tired of that stuff real quick though and made a move. But the reason it was a circus because it's like, damn, how's Jerry going to react to this dude walking in there and telling Jerry what's going on, right? And I'm not trying to say Eric Bieniemy is a guy like who did I just say?
Bill Parcells.
Bill Parcells. I'm not trying to say he's a Bill Parcells caliber coach.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Bill has had an establishment.
But
where
Bill, there ain't no Bill ain't ever changed. There's no doubt about it that everywhere Bill's gone, Bill's walked in and been an ass and been like, hey man, this is what I'm gonna do. Y'all get out of the way. Y'all just stay out of the way. This is how I'm gonna do things. And so from that respect, Bieniemy strikes me as that guy. There are a lot of owners out there that don't like being told what the hell somebody else is going to do with their money and with their players. And so it doesn't surprise me. And again, I'm not disputing the fact that there's a minority coach and owners maybe don't want to hire a minority coach. I'm not disputing that. I'm not shoving that to the side and saying that's not an issue, but it's just as easy for me to understand how he quote unquote doesn't interview well by how he interviews. And if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I don't change it because that's me. That's what I do. That's why he's successful. That's how he's going to be successful. And that's who he is. And so I can see where he rubs ownership wrong. I can see where he rubs wealthier individuals wrong. I can see where he rubs individuals like Jack Easterby that want to have their hands in everything. I can see where he rubs them wrong.
I can see when you talk about the control aspect, especially with this crew. Of how it is real. Because a little bit of that I think is unfair. A little bit of it is because I don't believe he is the only coach. Hell, I don't think he's the only coach in this hiring cycle that's coming at it like that. I don't think Urban Meyer is coming in there and telling Jacksonville, hey man, let's do it how you all. I don't think Robert Saleh did that with
Agreed.
The Jets either.
Agreed.
I don't think those guys did, but when you combine maybe that thinking, and it maybe plays a point that neither one of those guys got interviews or considered here.
There you go.
But if you play a point here with that, and especially with Jack Easterby and Cal McNair, how they have been running this, I do think a level of control is something they want. I think there is a bit of Jerry Jones in not – not that they're like Jerry, but in terms of we would like to have some input on what's going on here.
You just heard Josh McCown. He said he's got a vision of how he sees this thing going, how he wants to build this team. Talking about Jack Easterby? Hell yeah, they've got I'm telling you, man, the cats can sit around here and talk about Jack Easterby not being involved in personnel and football decisions. Jack Easterby's going to be involved in everything. And there's
every
no doubt.
Decision.
There is no doubt about it that Nick Caserio and Jack Easterby, if they had it their way, right? If they had it, and I'm probably unfairly putting Nick Caserio in this bunch because I haven't heard or seen this from him in Houston yet. But to me, this group screams they're going to hire a coach they can push around. They're going to hire a coach that they can put policies in place. We're going to practice here. We're going to practice here. We're going to keep an open door policy. We're going to have these meetings. This is going to be the itinerary. This is how we're going to function off the field. This is what these are the standards that your team's going to be held to. They want to be involved in all those things. And if you want to be involved in all those things, it's in your best interest if you hire a coach that's going to allow you to be involved in all those things. And I may be completely off the boat here, but when I hear Eric Bieniemy and when I talk to people about Eric Bieniemy, he is the exact opposite of that. And the combination of Eric Bieniemy's way of interviewing, because I don't want to say it's bad interviewing, it's his way of interviewing, which is real, it's him, and ultimately what's going to allow him to be such a great head coach, I think, that could very easily rub this group wrong quickly and force them to go in a different direction. May already have done it.
Yeah, because Jerry would never hire Eric Bieniemy. You think he would?
Jerry's deal with Eric Bieniemy, Jerry's going to see the value in whoever hires Eric Bieniemy, whatever franchise hires Eric Bieniemy, there is going to be an immediate value that Jerry would seek out, Jerry would take into consideration if he were to hire him. And he would ride that dog as long as he possibly could. You know, that's the part of Jerry that you, if it's a money-making deal, and Eric Bieniemy, the immediate hire is a money-making deal for him. The long haul, if Eric Bieniemy went there and won and proved everybody what the hell y'all all, 17 interviews and you didn't hire this guy, it'd be the lead story on SportsCenter damn near every night. Yeah, there's a value in that that Jerry would definitely buy into. And I think Jerry got a bad rap with he wanted to push Campo around because he knew they weren't going to win.
Well, he's continued to hire guys like that.
Well, I don't know that McCarthy's necessarily a guy that he's going to let push him around. Now, we may see that now, but I don't know coming in that was the case.
He was a stronger guy.
I mean, we really don't have a whole lot to Parcells was clearly not that way.
No.
Jason Garrett clearly was that way, and he stuck around for 10 years. I don't know what the hell's going on with McCarthy, to be completely honest with you. But, no, I could see Jerry hiring Bieniemy.
Clint Sterner and the show here with you is someone on the text line. Recap the Bieniemy conversation. We're having the conversation of when you think about how Eric Bieniemy probably has his presentation of aggressive, really telling you where he stands, and that you combine that with Jack Easterby and Cal McNair and how they would want things that could be a crash that doesn't work. Because I would point it to you like this, if I could corner my inner Eric Bieniemy. See, I think he goes in and he's like, look here, Mr. McNair and Jack, because there's no way he's calling him Mr. Easterby. Listen, Mr. McNair and Jack, here is my plan. We're going to have a high-octane offense. We're always going to be moving. We're going to get our work done. That's exactly what we're going to do every day on the practice field. On the practice field, we want it focused on football. That's what we want to do. This is who I want to bring in. This is the offense that I want to run. This is how I see things happening with Deshaun Watson playing together. This is how I plan to use Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller. I don't know if I want some of these guys. This is the defensive coordinator I want. We're going to be aggressive. This is how I plan to use J.J. Watt. Like, I think he goes in. And for me, I would be like, hell yes.
You betcha.
Yes. But for them, it would be like.
The whole time he's talking.
What kind of move can I pull?
The whole time he's talking, they're going, how do I get David Culley in this mix? Hey, Eric.
Leslie.
Hang on a second, Eric. What do you think about David Culley? You think passing game coordinator?
God, I bet Leslie would let me pick the quarterback.
Hang on. We got this old Josh McCown kid over here.
These are the type of players that I need drafted. These are the type of players I need to fit my system.
But hold on, Eric. What about Josh? What about Josh? OC? Give him the OC title? Teach him your offense? Quarterback coach? Nah.
That's not.
I mean, you're not. In all seriousness, I just think that that's. I think we're on to something in a sense of. I could see that turning Cal McNair and Jack Easterby off quick and in a hurry.
Yeah, I could too, and I think that's a really good point. When you specifically think about his style, especially compared to the guys he's speaking to with the Texans, that could go off. Clint Sterner in the show once again here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Clint, I want you to hear Aaron Rodgers after the game. Aaron Rodgers, after they blew the game to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home in Lambeau, in which Tom Brady gave them three interceptions in the second half. This was him when he was asked by media after the game about his future with the Packers.
A lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. That's what's sad about it most. Just the uncertainty is tough, and the finality of it all.
The uncertainty, he talked about him not knowing if he or other teammates would be there next year. Do you really think, honestly, Aaron Rodgers could be on the move, or is this just the ending of a season that he worked so hard with and it's over so quick and he just had to address the media right after the game?
There's no doubt I think he emotionally addressed the media. Now, I think he could end up being on the move because you look at what's going on in San Francisco, where he's from, where he grew up in Cali, and getting that opportunity at the end of his career when he thought he was going to get it at the beginning of his career. I think that's a real possibility. The fact that they drafted the quarterback first overall or in the first round last year, there's no way that doesn't sting Aaron Rodgers, especially in situations yesterday when clearly, you know, they're down there trying to score a touchdown and get a 2-point conversion to tie the ball game, and they've got to somehow design plays to get the only real 1-on-1 matchup threat, Davante Adams, three looks, and it wasn't good enough. If Davante Adams doesn't make the play in those types of situations, they typically, you know, they're going to have a tough time scoring points. And so I know they had a great regular season, but there's no way in that moment that. Aaron Rodgers doesn't think, man, I wish I had one more, you know, first round receiver. I wish I had one more weapon offensively. The thing that really sticks out in my mind in that game is how in the hell did Matt LaFleur find a way to not only doubt Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest to ever do it, on fourth down and kicking a field goal instead of going for it. You doubt his ability to score the touchdown. In that same process, you found a way to doubt the GOAT, Tom Brady. Like, you gave the ball back to Tom thinking he couldn't go get one first down to ice the game. Like, my man Matt LaFleur found a way to doubt two of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game with one decision. Boy, that was a tough one for me to understand.
You think Aaron today is thinking, I can't win with Matt.
No, I don't know that he's thinking.
Because I wonder how far. Because if you want out, I'm trying to figure out what other better situations there would be for him than what Green Bay has.
Aaron strikes me as a guy that he's a it's ran its course guy. To me, if he moves, that's the play, right? Is hey man, look, let me get out of here. You got your first round pick. I got 3 years left on my contract. I'm still playing at an MVP level. Trade me to San Francisco. You can get good draft capital or a good player in return. And it's ran its course here in Green Bay. Let me go see what a new spot feels like, kind of like Tom Brady did, and see if I can go get over the hump with a different organization that's primed and ready to win ball games. Right? It's got to be somebody that's primed and ready. The Rams in Cali, obviously the 49ers in Cali. You know, I think there's it would have to be a perfect scenario, but I do think with as much quarterback movement as there is out there in the league this year. I think there's a chance show that he could be one of them on the move, and there would be several landing spots. And if he can handpick his spot, man, why not?
Yeah, we were talking off like the Niners. I'm just like, man, that team, that roster. I think the coach is an upgrade. Although I think LaFleur is a good young coach. I mean, two straight years of the NFC Championship game. Kyle Shanahan, I think, is an upgrade. But man, is that team overall better? It is hard to see where he could go. Where it's just like gives them a better chance than what the Packers can bring to it.
Yeah, that's going to be tough to find. Hell, he played at an MVP level. He threw, 48
this
touchdowns and five interceptions.
Yeah.
Did you see where he threw six interceptions this year and three of them were against the Tampa Bay?
He only got sacked 25 times this year and 10 of them were against the Bucks.
Wow. Bucks had his number. Yeah, look, I think it's less about, because look, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a guy that controls his own destiny. He can retire to force a trade, right? And he's a guy that, I mean, he's going to handpick an organization that at least gives him a chance. He feels like gives him a chance, a similar chance to what Green Bay does. And so we're not talking about him going to the Dolphins here. You know, we're not talking about him taking a step back to go join a rebuilding squad. We're talking about joining a squad that's willing to sign him, spend the money around him. Because you're right, San Francisco would need a wide receiver. There's a bunch of them on the market this year.
Yeah, the Colts would be a hell of a move.
Yeah, the Colts would be a good one. Yeah. I think that's where Stafford ends up, but yeah.
I hear you on that. All right, coming up, the latest on the Texans coaching search. And yes, we have new news today. Finally, something more has come out on where the Texans are, the Texans' next head coach. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.